Welcome to the snooze button. Hey, I'm Brittany of Brittany, She, and Sleep. I've got 99 problems, but my kid sleeping isn't one.
Okay, guys, we are back with another very exciting guest episode. And I was thinking about it. We've had almost 100 episodes now, and I don't think we've ever had one that touched on this topic. So I'm very excited about it. So I want to introduce you guys, to Naya Roush, who is the founder of Mother Untitled. And if you're not familiar with it, it's the leading platform for ambitious women leading into family life. So Naya is a thought leader, writer, speaker, has a little MBA from Stanford, very casual, worked in digital and brand strategy for a decade in New York, and then founded this incredible platform. So I want to get into, there's other things you're working on that I want to talk about. But first, welcome, Naya.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so pumped. So I think first, because I'm sure there's people listening who are not familiar with Mother Untitled, like what exactly do you guys do and who are you serving?
So I started the platform with the sole mission of rebranding the stay-at-home mother. So I talked to you through this a little bit earlier, but I paused my career at the height of the Lean In movement. And there, everywhere I looked, there were incredible examples of the traditional working parent. And that was fantastic and supportive to that population. But what it did was it sort of cast undue shame on anyone choosing to pause or downshift. And meanwhile, I was looking around and I was meeting incredible women who were making conscious choices to pause or downshift into freelance or entrepreneurship, or they were fully at home but exploring what came next. And I thought, wait a second, this new collective of modern women need to be better represented so that when and if she does choose to shift back, she's respected and supported on the transition back.
Yeah, that's incredible. Because I've had a few people ask things like, you know, what do I do if I want to go back to work and I have a 5-year gap on my resume? And like, how do I say I was raising my kids? Or like, you know, am I going to lose out on the jobs because I took 2 years off? So with Mother Untitled, like, do you guys have resources for people who are going through that transition? Like what would someone come to you for, or what would a woman come to you guys for?
So the majority of people find us through social, where I get to offer sort of from my lived experience as well as my research into career pauses, a lot of reframes to just be able to walk through the stage of life with more confidence and empowerment. So you'll find reframes on the permission to get childcare, even if you don't do paid work, or reframes on how to think of yourself as contributing when you're not working for pay. You know, content like that, but really on site, we have the support and resources to really deliver on the promise that this is also your stage of life to grow alongside family life. So you'll find a library of content written with experts really geared towards the four phases. So preparing to pause, fully embracing the pause, blending. So what the phase we're in, where we're holding creative pursuit and professional pursuit alongside family life, and then returning. So for those who want to return to the workforce. And then we have a toolkit with more downloadable guides, more thorough guides that address similar phases, coaches or Rolodex of anything from financial advisors to mental health therapists that really focus on identity, to return to work coaches and resume writers, really vetted by me through the filter of coaches who really have lived experiences with a career pause or downshift, so that they're really approaching it with a sense of respect, and it's a safe space for the women in our community. We have a flex jobs board, which sometimes sounds counterintuitive, but a great majority of the women in our community actually are in what I call the gray area. So the vast in between of the black and white notions of stay at home and working mother, and they want to keep their hand in the game in some way. And they want to be able to have some sort of flexible way in which to either make income or stay connected to the professional workforce. So we have a flex jobs board that curates meaningful work that works alongside family. What else?
I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot of awesome stuff. So did you find, because I like what you said, that the people that you're kind of vetting to offer their services have to have had this lived experience. Did you find both when you paused yourself and then when you launched Mother Untitled, did you feel any like particular pushback or like negative energy around it or judgment that you feel like has helped you kind of curate the resources you offer?
Oh my gosh, 100%. I mean, you know, I think, as you know, a lot of the work that we find ourselves in, if we have the privilege to get to explore an entrepreneurial path, is sparked by something we faced. And so for, you know, you, it was sleep, and an expertise you discovered was yours. For me, it was, I realized I was able to sort of hold the criticism and learn from it. But when I first announced I was going to downshift and then pause, I got like, what are you going to do all day? I'm so worried you're going to be bored. This is what you're doing with your MBA. You're wasting it. You know, there was this sense of I've given up. And an implication, especially around ambition and feminism, that in some way, by stepping off the linear career track, that I was giving up on my feminism and giving up on my ambition. When in reality, I can say this truthfully, that when I stepped into that stage of life and away from sort of the rat race that is the career ladder and the traditional career ladder, I actually felt more supportive of women than I ever had before. And I think that I really did feel ambitious in that I trusted that my career was a long game. I trusted the decade of work I'd already put in. It's one of the key differences between today's woman on a career pause and the sort of traditional archetype of a stay-at-home parent is that we're having kids older. So we have an education and a work experience to draw upon. We have equitable relationships with our partners because we're getting married later. We have access to digital so that we're able to keep our hand in the game or learn or take certifications like you did so that we can figure out what comes next. So, you know, all of those things I knew to be true through my lived experience. But what I was hearing was, you know, the perception that somehow I was eating bonbons, sitting, you know, serving my husband like a cocktail at the end of the day, which obviously was so far from the truth. And then to your point around what was the pushback around starting Mother Untitled, I'll tell you, I've been doing this since I launched on January 10th, 2017, a year into motherhood. And you know, I think one of the most interesting things is to watch the climate and how it's evolved. For those first 5 years, when I was fully on pause, I can say, you know, pre-pandemic, it felt like a real uphill battle to get people to understand. And I know there's that famous quote that I often tell people, women who are working on different projects that are very nuanced and very complicated. There's that quote by Jeff Bezos, like, you have to be willing to be misunderstood for a long period of time. And there were a lot of journalists, even when I reached out to them with this till, you know, over that first 5 years, who were like, no, this is just not on the agenda of women right now. And I was like, I don't think you're understanding. This is a reality for many women. And if we don't pay it mind, we're going to leave this woman back in the 1970s with a disempowered archetype. And then it wasn't until post-pandemic that I've really seen a huge shift. You're seeing that content now around soft ambition, and you're seeing the headlines around normalizing career breaks, which is just such a fantastic shift. But it was planting seeds for a long time and having to sort of hold the sort of misunderstanding.
It's so fascinating when you mentioned like the fact that you took a pause is what led you to build this platform. And I mean, I'm the same situation. And I can think, as you were talking, I can think of so many women who, if they hadn't had the confidence and, to your point, had basically the financial opportunity because they had been working for 10 years, they had work experience. Like for you and I, the business side was easy, right? Because we had the business experience. But if we felt like we had to stay in a corporate, you know, 9 to 5, or we had to be a stay-at-home mom, these businesses wouldn't exist, right? Mm-hmm. They only exist because you were in the mindset of, I could take a pause and I am confident that I can come back if and when I want to. Mm-hmm. One thing I'm curious about is, do you feel like, because mine shifted, do you feel like what you envisioned for yourself, like both growing up, if you ever thought about motherhood, or even in college when you were at Stanford, like, I'm going to always work full-time. I want to like be this, you know, at Goldman in 15 years. Or were you like, I want this education, but I think I'm kind of going to be a stay-at-home mom? Or was it always, this was the intent of what you end up doing?
You know, I have a business school essay that I wrote for a class called Work and Family. And the professor was Professor Myra Strober, who I have interviewed in my book. And she's an author as well. And she is one of the leading feminists. You know, she's really, she was part of the Female Economic Forum. She's really well-versed in this topic. And I have all of her red marks on my paper where I proposed existing in the gray area and like dismantling the notions of black and white, stay-at-home and working mother. And I do think, you know, when I left high school, I took a gap year between high school and college. And that wasn't like a thing back then. I don't think we called it gap years. But I think I had this sort of self-trust around fluid journeys and really believing that when you take a step off the path, sometimes you can, you actually find, you can separate yourself from all the other forces and figure out what's true to you. And that was certainly the truth, you know, when I left high school and went to like the Himalayas for a year, but I think, I actually think it's very similar to what happened in motherhood, you know, when you step off the track and you aren't pretending and you aren't trying to fit, you can sort of tune into, okay, if I've already parted with the ego, you know, or if I'm sort of making peace with the fact that like the sort of signifiers of my success, I've sort of put a pin in, right? Like the outward markers, then you do have to, when you can't really have a simple answer for what do? You have to figure out like, who are you and what's true. And I think there's a lot of opportunity born in that.
Yeah. And the opportunity for more people to get
a long evolution that I think is sort of inherent. I think some people are more risk averse and risk tolerant.
Totally. And that's, you know, that's part of it is temperament, right? And it's just like who you are and what risks you're willing to take. But I do think that platforms like Mother Untitled are so necessary because when you were mentioning the lean in generation, like I have a distinct memory of sitting at my desk at Ralph Lauren and my assistant was like not getting the credit she deserved. And I was like, we're going to do a book club. We're going to read Lean In together. Like we're going to be, you know, boss babes. And I was like, so into that stuff. And then I could see myself just change when I got pregnant. And I was like, I don't know if I want to be hoofing it to the Upper East Side every day for the next 20 years. Like, I don't know if this is me, but it was that sort of like, and I think we're still there a little bit. Like there's a little bit of judgment for stay-at-home moms. I think there is. I hear people now, like they don't get us. They're like playing tennis all day. You know, there isn't this like respect for the spectrum. And even for me, and it sounds like for you too, I remember when I launched my business, I got a lot of like, oh, that's so cute. How's your little sleep thing going?
Like, oh, it's a little project, the little blog. And, you know, a lot of it's like diminutive phrases that like, you know, we've said it forever, like lifestyle project is the big one or, you know, your Instagram thing. And I heard it all. And I think that women have had to figure out a way in a culture that doesn't value parenting and doesn't have support and scaffolding to really make work work. We are sort of the first generation to say, wait a second, we want to parent and we want to work and we have to figure out all the ways in which that could happen. And you're seeing the rise of flex work. You're seeing the rise of remote work, thankfully, the silver lining to the pandemic. Totally. And you're seeing a rise of women staying at home. And by the way, not just because it's a luxury or a privilege. One in three women have to pause because of the cost of childcare. So I do think that our culture is going to have to take a hard look at like career pauses being part of the norm and a really valid part of a long career journey. By the way, the other sub point in this narrative is that our careers are much longer than they used to be. The retirement age is no longer 50. So with a career being so long, you know, to normalize the pauses and shifts feels like we're catching up to make it all more sustainable. But I think one of the things that's interesting for you and your story is that you've lived different versions. And I think it's a really important point to highlight. So you went from full-time work, but you found a really family-friendly organization, right? Like Birchbox was more family-friendly, at least from what I remember. Yeah, and yes. then, you know, when you took a full pause, you then figured out, you felt that sort of itch tapping eventually to find your way into certification to then launch your own business. And all of those versions is what I often say is more reflective of the modern woman navigating work and family. It's more fluid. It's not black and white. And if we can embrace this sort of more fluid narrative, that there's no one right way, there are different years and different chapters and different seasons that we have to recalibrate on, you know, how much support we have, what our family needs are, what our own needs are, then I think we give women permission to make the right choice for right now without penalty. But I think those projects that we, you know, our culture has come to diminish are a real gateway into unlocking the full possibility of chapters where you're not able to go into traditional work or don't want to go into traditional work and yet want to have impact, want to make income. And so this is all to say, I think women, it's on us to have to sort of fight the critique and sort of carve out the paths that work for us.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess in current time, because I think your point is very valid that I think of all the horrible things that came from the pandemic, remote work, flex work, those things definitely are much more the norm. Like, I think people were almost surprised when I got an office last year. It was like, but you can work from home. And I was like, yes, but my husband's there and our nanny and all the children. It's like, I wanted an office. But with that, like, do you feel like now that you have tons of women coming to you with questions, with issues, like what are the biggest challenges you find that women are facing? Like, is it often people who are pregnant and are like, I can't decide if I'm going to go back to work? Is it they're pausing and they're scared to go back to the workforce? Like, what is the biggest problem you feel like you're solving that people come to you?
It runs the gamut, but I would say if I had to pick one, the biggest is the identity transition of stepping into having gone from a career where they felt financially independent, as well as very, you know, we live in a culture and we're raised in a generation where our work was really tied to our worth. So, you know, having to contend with the outward stigma, but their own inner judgment of themselves. Mm-hmm. I would say that identity transition of having to set aside the tropes that they sort of that come to their own mind about what it means to be a stay-at-home parent. Then the financial planning around how do I step into this and not feel like a dependent, really reconstructing that side of it. And then trusting that sort of trust and belief that there will be possibility on the other side, that they are going to keep growing. I think the women who are, you know, embracing the stage of life or sort of blending it with work and family often will come to us for either the tools to sort of navigate that tension, because I think there's another tension when you're in the gray area, because when you have the privilege of choice, there's the blessing and burden of flexibility, right? The dialing up and the dialing down and the constant game of like, am I not doing enough here or not doing enough there? So that's a different tension. But I would say that front end of having conversations, having tools and mindsets to step into the stage of life with power and confidence around the identity is sort of, it's the entryway, definitely.
Yeah, I could see that a lot, right? If you're used to being like in a boardroom and you have 20 people reporting to you and now you have a 2-month-old reporting to you, I could totally, I get that. I get that. It's really hard. And I think, you know, motherhood, if we're being honest, motherhood doesn't come supernaturally to everyone. I think some women are thrilled when they, like, I was like thrilled that I had a newborn. It's why this is my job, obviously, right? Is I like that stuff. But I know that a lot of women are like, I never held a baby before. And now I like have to be home at least for a few months. It's scary. Right. Mm-hmm. And maybe they need to stay home with them. So that's fascinating. So what would you say for women who are listening now, who are in that space, who are stay-at-home moms right now, whether they're really embracing it or not so much, what are the things that they need to keep in mind to hold on to that identity and know that there is possibility beyond what they're doing now?
Well, I would start with a career pause is not a life pause. This is not a career ender. You are still growing, right? And we all have, whether, by the way, this applies to women who return to work for a chapter of time or have flex work, we all get to recalibrate on the decision over and over again. So this is, the phrase right now is something I offer people a lot, like you're making this choice for right now. And then while you're navigating this stage of life, I think it's really important to know that you deserve your own goals. Your children are not your metric of success. So, you know, when we have, you know, when you have your annual review at work or your promotion or your, your salary bump, those are outward signifiers you're doing great work and you're making progress. And we all are oriented toward knowing we're making progress, which, like, the concept of stay-at-home motherhood even implies stagnation. But the reality is you're doing immense work running a household. That said, affording yourself personal goals and family goals to orient yourself, to check in with yourself and on your own progress. For me, that was, you know, I'll give you the example. When I was fully pausing, it was working around reactivity. Right? Like doing a lot of personal mental health work and really investing in that because I knew I would reap the rewards in parenting, but also long-term, right? Eventually it began to be dialing up the work on Mother Untitled and, you know, setting those independent goals. I think accordingly, the permission to not have to be a super mom, like I think stay-at-home mom does not equate to super mom, right? Like, and I think we've sort of fallen under that. Like if we're going to do this work in the home, then we should be cooking all the meals and keeping a clean house. And we should be, that's like, the reality is that will burn you out, right? You didn't choose to pause to like be that caricature. You chose to pause to make room for what matters. And you get to decide for what matters. And then the third part of that is the permission to get help. I think the saddest, most consistent thing I see across the women I interview is how often women, including myself, feel like if they don't work for pay, they don't deserve support. The reality is no one should be working a 24/7 job. Everyone deserves breaks, right? And the household benefits from having a support system and having supported parents. Kids benefit from having some healthy parents. So, you know, that investment doesn't come out of your individual earnings. That comes out of the household income, which is shared, right? And so all of that, you know, I would say that combination of mindsets is really important. And then this sort of, for the people who are feeling that sort of nudge on their shoulder, it's normal to be bored. It is totally and utterly normal to be bored in any job. I was bored in my own like paying job before. It's normal to get bored in parenting, but if you're feeling it consistently, is that a nudge to figure out what comes next? And, you know, how can we, in a simple way, use this time to explore, even if it means scrolling your Instagram and seeing like, oh, wait, these accounts, like I keep following design accounts. Maybe that's something interesting to me, or this company, this nonprofit seems really interesting. Volunteering in your school system strategically to figure out like, oh, you know, I actually really liked planning that family carnival. Maybe events is something I want to help out in. Or exploring freelance opportunities consistent with what you were doing doing before. I think mom-friendly work boards like Mother Untitled, but also like Career Contessa, Opre, the Mom Project are great pathways back. And, you know, ultimately, I would say, look, keep track of those little accomplishments that seem so ordinary, right? Like even the volunteering or that time that you advise your husband's law office on marketing. Keep track of those because eventually there are tools and coaches and resources out there to help you craft your narrative so that you can transition back with more confidence.
It's so true. And as you were saying that, I was thinking that's exactly what I sort of subconsciously did when I was a stay-at-home mom, as I spent more time, which I'm sure he's annoyed that he doesn't have it anymore, but more time with my husband's business stuff. Like he was launching his own business and he was dealing with like, he's not great with like the, I don't know. I would be like, this is what you need to tell your boss. Like this is, you have to like call him if you want to talk. You know, I was like giving him like career coaching. And then because I'd been at Birchbox, I was a beauty expert. So I went to the Mommy Me class I went to and I was like, if you ever need a guest speaker on like postpartum beauty, clean beauty, what's safe during pregnancy. And this was like unpaid, but I would just go and speak, right? It was like, I was just doing little things to make me, they kind of kept me in the game, right? Like kept me thinking about it, which I love because I do think there is so much pressure to your point for stay-at-home moms that it's like, oh, they have a nanny. Like my friends who have full-time nannies and are stay-at-home moms with three kids, it is crazy the amount of stuff they're doing. They're like remodeling the house. They have 15 sports events. They're like volunteering at every school event. They're busier than me. You know, and I think that's only just now starting to become something we accept. And I feel a little bit bad that it wasn't until I had three kids that I was like, oh, yeah, no, this is like a three-person full-time job. So,
well, I think three kids is just the tipping point. I honestly think that's actually why my husband would have died and gone to heaven for me to have a third child. But I really said, I was like, either you have to be willing to have another third human in the house, a grown up. Which it's interesting because part of my block around childcare is more that I didn't like having people in my space. Like I say bring that up because then I figured out, okay, well, what are the other things I can outsource? I actually don't mind a cleaning person regularly because that was something I didn't feel territorial about. Whereas childcare, I wanted part-time when I was not like physically overlapping with them. And I bring this all up because we actually have an outsource expert in our resources, who's a woman who basically helps guide women to figure out what kind of help that they need or want that might be non-traditional. And I think it's a really interesting thought exercise because it's not just full-time nanny or bust. There are so many sort of variations of how can you support, run the household and organization that you have to set yourself up for success.
And it's such a good point that you want to think about not just like, oh, I get a nanny or like I get a housekeeper, but there are so many things. I was actually talking to my sister-in-law about this last week because she works part-time, her husband's full-time, and they have an au pair. And she's like, we realized that we would come home at night and the au pair would be still be playing with the kids because it's like what the au pair does. And we were the ones like cleaning the kitchen and we were like, wait a second. Mm-hmm. And she's like Portuguese and is a great cook. And they were like, no, 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 we're going to come home. We want to play with our kids. And now she does dinner and she does the cleanup, right? Like you can shift and change what you need to get the time that you want, right? So it doesn't have to be so black and white. I love that. That's such a good point.
I think that's the nature of all these conversations is I think we're the first generation to have the sort of a little bit more freedom, more resources, not just financially, but from a technology perspective, more community to be able to explore what exists in between the black and white, because I think we are seeing just a far less rigid culture. And I think, you know, obviously I come at it from the slice of work and family, but I think that exists across so many different verticals is that there's just a more nuanced view needed.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also want to make sure we touch on the book a little bit more. Tell us about The Power Pause. So that's coming out in January, right?
It is coming out January 14, 2025. It'll be available for pre-order next month. And the book really will be the first guide to stepping into a career pause with strategy, with a sense of possibility, with a sense of confidence and clarity. And the book follows the arc of preparing. So we tackle things like finances, tackle things like resignation, then really embracing the pause by setting your own goals, getting permission to get help, setting rhythms that support you, and then finally transitioning back to the workforce and using the stage of life to truly explore what comes next in a meaningful way, to network, and then obviously, return with confidence if you want to.
So the last thing I will touch on, that I want to touch on, is for women who maybe have identified, and I loved your tips about like tracking what you're interested in and like, what are these small things you're doing? Like, that was really fun. I really liked XYZ. I should do more of that. Like if women have found those things and they feel like they're ready to step in, like what are the tips or encouragement you would offer them to actually do it, to like make that shift? Mm-hmm.
Well, first is dedicate time, right? You deserve time. And you get to decide how much time that is. If your children are in school, maybe that's the set time. If you're willing as a partnership to invest in childcare and allocate those hours, come up with a set amount of time to do that. And by the way, that includes, even if you haven't necessarily landed on that thing, you're allowed to invest time in just exploring, in having coffees with the people that you think are interesting or calls with people that have walked this path before. I think that the part two is really allowing yourself to test and learn. So maybe you pick Instagram. Maybe that's the forum that you want to plant seeds within. Or maybe it's an internship right? If it's interior design, I have a good friend who was 40 and was like, you know what? I've loved design for ages. I know I have an advocate. I don't need to go back to advertising. I really want to be an interior designer. There's no shame in going back as an internship. And by the way, she was hired as a principal like 3 years later, right? And all of that to say, or volunteer, there's ways in which to test that idea and that interest out. And I think giving yourself permission to test, letting go of the ego around that, knowing that this is your time that is ripe for exploration. And in the meantime, seeking out mentors who are just a few steps ahead of you so you can get some intel around pricing, around what the different ways to monetize are, or by the way, deciding, and I think maybe one step before that is deciding what the goals are. For a long time for Mother Untitled, the plan really was, it was a long game. And it really was, my goals were to change the conversation, to keep my skills sharp, and to network. Those were three really valid goals that did not include money making. And I think one of the gifts of you've already parted with your income, you've gone through that budgeting exercise. So if you still have runway to be able to continue that path and use this time to explore, it takes the pressure off of that. But I would say be clear about what the goals are, because you are going to be investing time into it. And those goals can be personal. And you can, you know, if it doesn't feel like it scratches the itch, you can go back to the drawing board.
Totally. And that is, frankly, that's exactly what I did. That's exactly what I did. I thought I was going to do something in beauty. Then I very briefly worked for the local moms network. I was like, I'll like run the local chapter. Then I was like, this isn't really my thing. Then I thought this sleep thing came to me. So I think I just love your business because I think it's going to give more people the confidence to do that. You know, I think a lot of people are afraid to do it.
You know, there's a futurist named April Rennie. And she presents this concept of a career portfolio, as in, you know, a collective of experiences that are non-traditional that, you know, and I like to say the dots always connect backward. Like I would be willing to bet that you offering the beauty talks and plugging into the local moms network gave you confidence in networking in that area, such that when you launched, you know, when you dove into the certification and then when you launched your sleep consultancy, you had that sort of breadth of network and skill to draw upon. Right. And so it does feel like a time where even though your time is limited, it feels ripe for possibility. You've sort of shed the layers and limits of the title and you're able to explore meaningfully what comes next.
I love it. I'm very inspired. I mean, if I didn't have my own business right now, I would want to launch one, I think. This is great. So I hope that it gives some women confidence that whatever stage they're in right now, it's the right one for them now, and they can always change later, up or down, wherever they want to go. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming, Nea. This has been awesome. And where can people find you if they want your resources to learn more about you, all that fun stuff?
You can follow us on Instagram at Mother Untitled, or you can go to motheruntitled.com and subscribe for the newsletter.
Amazing. And you guys, she said the Power Pause will be available for pre-order next month. I know I will be getting one. I'm very excited for that to launch. And we'll let you go because you have a book to write. So you're a little busy today.
I'm done with the book, but very much in the marketing of the book, which is huge. And I will just say, you know, the goal with putting that, making the book a success is I think, yes, it's a guide for women navigating the stage, but it's also a cultural call to action that it's time to reexamine the tropes of stay-at-home motherhood. So anything we can do to propel that book forward, I think will be game changing.
Amazing. I think we could do an entire other episode on issues with maternity leave, how men see women's role in society. There could be a whole other episode about that, but I completely agree. So
very we can absolutely go on and on. Well, it was lovely seeing you. Thank you for having me. And thanks everyone.
Absolutely. Thanks, Nea.
Loving the snooze button? Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And please leave a review. I will read it and internalize it, so make sure it's very glowing. If you're interested in working with me or learning more about my courses, head to brittanysheehan.com or follow me on Instagram at brittanysheehansleep.